Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Would you stand with me just for a moment as I read this scripture? Luke 4:18 says this: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Yes.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Because he hath anointed.
Yes.
He has.
Glory to God. To
glory.
Preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted.
Amen.
Preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind.
Yes,
set at liberty to them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for your grace upon us, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we know that you want to speak to us this morning.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
We know that you want to say something specific to us this morning, Father.
Yes.
Lord, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not going to do a hit and run. Lord, I know you have sent me here. And you spoke some things in my spirit to share with the congregation, to my family. And I pray, Father, that my family receives.
Thank you.
Praise the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Well, I say unto you, happy 4th of July.
Thank you.
Praise God. We are about to celebrate the 4th of July. For me, it's very special because I actually have a son who was born on the 4th of July.
Hey.
Praise God. Gave my wife freedom. Hallelujah. That 4th. Thank Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. We're celebrating Independence Day here in the United States of America. And despite the importance of celebrating the nation's separation from another dominating nation, it gives us an excuse to have food, fun, and fellowship. How many people have plans for the 4th of July? Amen. Praise God. I already see people have plans. Usually that's the case. We probably have people who are not here today because they have plans.
Right.
Amen.
Exactly.
Amen. You know, some attend celebrations of heroes. You know, it's another time to think about veterans and their sacrifice. Do we have any veterans in the house today? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. And thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Praise God. We make plans for fireworks celebrations. Some start their vacations and go away. And we break out the barbecue and indulge. What foods do we think of? Like we think about American foods, think about hot dogs, right?
Yeah.
Hamburgers, right?
Yeah.
How about barbecue ribs?
Yeah. Come on.
Potato and coleslaw salads. Grilled corn on the cob.
Yes.
But I particularly love our church because we have such a variety. You know, it's good to have oxtail peas and rice. Pansit noodles, which I love.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Corned beef and cabbage. Various curry dishes. We can have come over here. Egg rolls and spring rolls.
Yes.
Mac and cheese.
Yes.
I haven't seen us run no collard greens yet. But I could imagine that we have a big enough feast for that collard greens. Hallelujah. So when it comes to the 4th of July, I can say we're all in. Amen.
We're all in.
Amen.
We're all in, right?
Yeah.
We're all in. It's celebrating the experience of our freedom. We're all in.
We're all in.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
The Lord has caused me to define, to be all in, we must what? We must hear, we must say, and we must do.
Amen.
To be all in, we must hear, say, and do. When I say hear, we must listen to and receive the word of God.
That's right.
And when I say, we must declare with our mouth and speak according to what we have heard from God.
Yes.
Your mouth has to agree with God has spoken.
Yes.
Your mouth needs to agree and speak what God has spoken.
Yes.
And we must do. We must perform the inspired actions when led to by our hearing and our saying. Hallelujah. We must perform the inspired actions when led by our hearing and saying. We must hear, say, and do. Are you all in this morning?
Hallelujah. Yes.
Praise God. Are you all in? Praise God.
I'm all in.
We need to be all in.
Oh, yeah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Today I'm just going to contrast two incidents in the life of the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. I'm going to first talk about receiving the independence they had from bondage. And then I'm going to talk about Israel claiming the promise of God and entering into the land which he had prepared for them. God liberated them, but he doesn't liberate you to do nothing.
That's right.
He liberates you to bring you to a place of promise. God desires to bless you. And he wants to bring you to the place of promise. But we have to be all in to experience all of that.
Yes.
I want to say, sing with me today. The Old Testament is God's word also.
The Old Testament is God's word also.
You say it again. The Old Testament is God's word also. I have to say that. Because sometimes we spend too much time in the New Testament and we never read the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians 10 and 6 says, now these things became our example. What we read in the Old Testament is an example. So what? To the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Which means that God was going to show us many things by reading what happened before so that we know what to do today.
Yeah.
Thank God. Experience is the best teacher. You always hear that, right? But experience is the best teacher as long as it's somebody else's experience. Because if we have to go through every single thing before we understand and learn, we're going to have problems.
Yeah, that's right.
Some might not even make it out. Because some experiences you don't want to have. And we thank God that they went through some things that we can see that we don't do that. Or they went through some things that we said we do that. Amen. Hallelujah. The Israelites, in celebrating and experiencing freedom, had to be all in. You know, the British Empire had ruled America for a little over 70 years, from 1607 to 1783. And we had to fight the American Revolutionary War before we could declare this land as the United States of America. But the Israelites were not trying to free themselves and claim their land. They were slaves in Egypt and have been, in accordance with Exodus 12:40, have been there for over 430 years. Praise God. Turn with me, if you can, to Exodus chapter 12. I'll give you a wait if you have those digital Bibles, please. Let's get to Exodus chapter 12. And we're going to talk about hearing right now. What did they hear? Exodus chapter 12. Verse 1. If you got it, say amen.
Amen.
If you got it, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, all right. It says in verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take of himself a lamb according to the house of the father, and the lamb for a household. And the household is, if it's too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on two doorposts and on their lintel of the houses where they eat. Praise God. Mm. When you just see that appearance, you say, on the doorposts.
Right.
And on the lintel. Yeah. What do we got? Semblance of the cross.
Right. Mm.
And then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled it all with water, but roasted in fire. Its head with the legs and its entrails, means its internals. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. And what remains of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with the belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, the staff on your hand. So shall you eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah.
God gave specific instructions to the Israelites upon being released to become independent from their bondage for many, many years. These were very specific instructions. And he told them to eat it and be ready to go. It's wonderful when the Lord tells you that he's about to do something for you, you need to get ready. You need to listen carefully. You need to be ready because God may just do a quick thing. You need to move when God tells you to move. You see, there's no room for procrastination when the Lord wants to do something real in your life. Praise God. And we keep ready. We keep ready. We keep ready. We have to keep ready. I know there's people out here expecting some things from God. You need to keep ready. God's about to do some things. Hallelujah. Listen carefully and keep ready. Then verse 12 says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on the right and strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you or destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be your memorial, and you shall keep it at the feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance." Hallelujah. So this is what they heard. Moses gave instruction. They heard. They had to comply with it. They had to comply with it. And in verse 21, let's talk about what's saved. Moses called for the elders of Israel, and he said now, he took the instructions from God, now he's going to tell it to the elders. He says, take the lambs yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel or two doorposts. Now he's saying again what God told him to do. We have to be mindful when God starts to speak to us, we need to say back what he has said.
Yeah.
Not what anybody else has said.
Come on.
When God told us to come, Westchester Family Church, into this neighborhood, he told our pastors to come here. He has said some specific things. We need to be speaking what God has said as the pastor begins to reveal even more, even this year. Because he has said some things to me about syncing up the vision this year, that you are going to know specifically why we are here. Amen? Can I say amen to that, Pastor?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And we need to be saying what God says about what we should be doing. Hallelujah.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen.
It's important. So now they were there, and he's rehearsing to them. He's telling them what God told him to do. Verse 23, "The Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians and will seize the blood on the lintel on the two doorposts. The Lord will pass over and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as a promise, that you shall keep his service, and it shall be when you and your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service? What do you mean by this service?' They shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passed over the houses of the children of Israel when he struck the Egyptians and delivered households." So the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Praise God.
Praise God.
So here you have Moses now telling the people and also telling them what shall they say about the circumstance. Hallelujah. Yeah. When you become acquainted with the vision, even of WFC, you need to speak forth what the vision is. Amen. There's no perfect church. I want to tell you that right now.
That's right.
Our compensation shouldn't be what went wrong here in the church this morning.
Yes.
Or what went wrong by this sister did this. It should be, we're an encouraging church.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Come on.
Hallelujah. We need to say what we're challenged by God to say.
Yes.
Yeah.
Praise God. So this is what's happening. Now, let's see what verse 28. And it says, then the children of Israel went away and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses, Aaron, so they did.
So they did. Yeah, that's good.
So they did. They did exactly what they were told to do. Note the results of this obedience. Came forth wealthy. They came forth wealthy and healed. Just, you don't have to turn to this. In Exodus chapter 11, we read this. Before they had left, they did one thing. God didn't let them leave empty-handed. In verse 2 of Exodus chapter 11, it says, Moses commanded them prior to this to speak. Speak now in the hearing of the people, and let every man ask from his neighbor, every woman from her neighbor, articles of silver and articles of gold. And the Lord gave people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. So what happened is that before this actually happened and they were actually gone, the Lord already set them up to go with wealth in their pocket. Oh, you may say they robbed them. They didn't rob them. They just asked. We're going to have to come to a place where we begin to ask. And it don't have to be believers. We ask stuff. God can give us favor. This building that we're looking for, we may have to ask. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Yes, I have constantly looking for builders in this area. $2 million, $1 million. So what? We need to ask. We need to begin to ask. We need to walk up and ask. Why? Because it's not our bank account that's going to buy the building.
Yes.
Y'all don't get that?
Oh, I get it.
And you say, well, don't look at our numbers and when you think about a building.
That's true.
That's right.
God has a bank account.
Yes, he does.
But I can tell you how God miraculously does things. Yes. Did a great miracle for me. Amen. Made me completely debt free. Completely wiped out all my college debt. Well, I'm not going to say much because you're going to think I'm bragging.
No.
But I thought I'd never have a house. Because all my house money was in college debt. God in one fell swoop. It was like I was sitting in my office. I think it was on a Tuesday. And I've been listening along these lines about God and mercy. Mm-hmm. I said, Lord, and they said, God will give you mercy. So I prayed in my office and I prayed. I said, Lord, I know why I ran this bill up. I know this amount. Yes. Yes, yes. Two college degrees I paid for. They weren't mine. For my kids, I said, Lord, I sacrificed, so I don't have a house. So I said, Lord, I asked for mercy. I just started asking for mercy. I said, Lord, I know it's my responsibility. And I was actually paying down all my debt so that, because I'm getting close to that retirement level, but there's going to be no retirement for me. Because there's too much to do. The kingdom.
Yes.
See, if you have you can't have a retirement mentality if you're in the kingdom. You can't.
That's right.
You gotta switch that up. Yeah. There's too many people gotta be saved.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You gotta be freed so you can do more for the kingdom of God. So what happened is that Saturday, my wife comes from the mailbox and she goes and she says, honey, I don't know what this is. This don't make sense. She says, and this note says, we are glad to inform you that the amount that you owe completely canceled. Zero. Woo! I said, Jesus! Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Zero.
Lord, zero.
Yes.
Zero.
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 Now, if you're talking about two college degrees, you're talking about, well, you're talking about a lot of money.
There was a lot of zeros.
Yeah, a lot of zeros involved.
House money.
And I looked at that. That's house money. That's right. It was definitely house money. I wasn't anticipating that. I said, oh, so now I got to change my prayer now. I'm not trying to maintain, trying to pay off that debt. I'm now thinking about where's my house.
Right.
Glory to God. That's what I'm thinking about now.
Yeah.
Where's my house? Why? Because I need a house to be able to minister to people. I need to have the freedom to be able to bring people in, minister to them, show them how God is so wonderful. He can do so many great things. And when you least expect it, He will just blow your absolute mind.
Yes, yes.
It's the truth.
Yes.
And that's what he did for me. Praise God.
Yes.
Okay, I tell you in private, you really need to know.
Yes.
And I'm talking about two young men I put through college.
Yes.
Glory to God. And not a debt, not a penny of debt left.
Zero.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Ooh. Amen.
Yes.
If you ain't excited, I know I'm excited.
We're excited.
Praise God.
Zero. Zero.
Hallelujah. But besides that, in Psalms 105, it shows us that God not only brought them out with silver and gold, it says here in verse 37 of Psalm 107 that he brought them forth with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribe.
Yeah, not one feeble.
Now, there were well over 600,000 men on foot. Now, whether that scripture just means mankind, or if it just means men, there were a lot of people walking out of Egypt.
That's right.
And the scripture says there was not one feeble person. Wait a minute. You mean on the 600 people, there was nobody walking with a cane?
Come on.
There was nobody, who was weak? No, there was no one weak because they were all in. Now, in this particular case, if they weren't going to be all in, they would have been dead. But they were all in. Because we know the destroyer was coming.
So let's
get and that if they weren't all in this right. particular case, they were going to be out of it.
Yeah.
Okay? But they were all in. And as a result of being all in, hearing what God has said, saying what God has said, and then doing specifically what he tells you to do when he begins to impart and inspire you, this will happen in everything that you do.
Yes.
God will speak a word to your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about your health. God will speak a word to your heart. You listen carefully. God can even speak to you, tell you, oh, you know, you're dealing with some health problems, what have you. God can tell you, okay, you need to do this. And you just need to do it.
Mm.
But sometimes we don't listen to God. The first thing we want to do is run. Ain't nothing wrong with doctors. But you cannot, first thing you do, run just for the physician.
Mm.
Okay? We have some people who, when this crisis came with COVID, what have you, they made opt and said, well, I'm not taking that. Okay? And God still blessed them, still kept them healthy, and still kept them whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to follow what the Holy Ghost says to you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And you have to make sure to know that Jehovah Rapha is still a healer.
Yes, Jehovah Rapha.
Whenever you go to a doctor, you better go with Jehovah Rapha as your healer.
Yes.
You must, when you go, you say, okay, we want to locate you where your faith is at. You feel you need to take the surgery? Take the surgery, but go in faith. Knowing Jehovah Rapha is going to guide every physician's hand when you're being touched. Don't just assume that this person just has the ability. It's God who gives the ability. So what happened here is that when they left, God did a healing. That everybody could be able to go, walk, no feeble person among over 600,000 people. But why? Because they were all in. They were all in. You see, to be all in, you have to hear, say, and do. You have to listen and receive the word of God from God. You have to declare with your mouth and speak according to what is heard. And your mouth has to agree with what God has spoken. And you have to do, perform the inspired actions when led to by your hearing and your saying. God is going to inspire you when you begin to hear him and then speak what he says. He's going to give you inspired action, what to do next.
Yeah.
Praise God. A couple of weeks ago, I was walking around here with, I had a pad on my knee and all this kind of stuff. I was limping all over. Y'all see me limping now?
No,
sir. No.
Because I got an inspiration. The Lord told me what to do. So I did what he told me to do, and I followed what he told me to do, and I'm walking now without this thing all over my leg and stuff like that. God will strengthen. He will do those things. God can't do that for you.
Yes.
Why? That's faith.
Yes.
You're saying, Lord, you direct me, right?
Yes. Yes.
Right? And it's not that, sometimes you got to practice faith.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes, sometimes you just got to practice faith. You're going to have to step out and say, Lord, and speak to it. Speak to it. Speak to that problem. Speak to it. Speak to it. Amen. The Bible says God's word is medicine.
Yes.
Hallelujah. When you're confronted like that, take more of God's word. You take enough of God's word long enough, it will heal you.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. It will heal you. Okay. God's word heals. God's word heal. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So, here. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 13. Let's look at the other episode. Praise God. God had already delivered them from Israel. He brought them out of bondage. Now he's taking care of them all throughout their travels. And he's bringing them where? To the promised land. Mm. And they need to continue to hear and say and do. They need to continue to hear, say, and do. In Numbers chapter 13, and the Lord spoke to Moses, verse 1, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one, a leader among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all the men who were heads of the children of Israel. And in verse 14 and 15, we read all the names. God even took the time to put the names of the people who he sent. My goodness. And in verse 6, you have from the tribe of Judah, you have Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. And in verse 8, you have from the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun. Now, in verse 16, it tells us that Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. Mm-hmm. The reason I picked those out, because you will see what actually happened. In verse 17, it says, now, they went out, they spied out the land. They came back with wonderful news, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, they came back with the acknowledgement that God does what he says he's going to do. You see, when God sent Moses to free Israel, he actually said to them, you don't have to turn to this, in Exodus chapter 3, in verse 8, he says, so I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land, from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. So when they went to spy out the land, they actually saw these wonderful things. A land flowing with milk and honey. They actually saw it. They were just amazed.
Yeah.
But, let's see what it says, verse 17. It said, Moses sent the spies. He said to them, go up to the south, up to the mountains, and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell are strong or weak, few or many. Now, when I was starting to read this, I said, God, why'd you send them? Because God had did so much with them already, said he would never think that it would come back other than be excited about what they saw. But it says that whether the land dwell is a good and good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests there are or not. Then he says, be of good courage. Be of good courage. Now Moses told them to go out, then he said, be of good courage. Why did he even say that? Because I think Moses had an inkling that when they went out to see the land, that they were going to see some things that they didn't really want to see. But he told them ahead of time to be of good courage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Praise God. When God tells you to do something, or he's sending you or gives you a vision to go forth, he's always telling you to be encouraged.
Yeah.
But he's not telling you that you're not going to go through some stuff, or you're not going to deal with some hardship out there. Hallelujah. Nice of Columbus. Hardship. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Okay. All right. I'm meddling a little bit now.
It's okay.
It's all right.
Yes.
We made it through.
Beyond the blue chair. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Be encouraged. Whatever you go through, you can be encouraged. Okay? Okay?
Thank you.
All right? And so verse 21 says, so when they went up and spied out the land, the wilderness of Zin. Okay, I know. Too long. Then they came out and they spied out the land. Verse 22, and they went up and softened and went to Hebron, Heman. You go through those names. And the descendants of Anak were there. So they went to see all the land, but they said something interesting. The descendants of Anak were there. So now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan, and then they came to the valley Eshcol, and they would cut down branches of cluster of grapes. They carried them between on a pole. Man, I like to see grapes that you carry on your shoulders between a pole. They also spoiled some pomegranates and figs, and they placed them in the valley of Fall, and because of the cluster which the men could cut down, they returned from spying out of the land. And now when they came back, verse 26, to Moses and Aaron, all the congregations of children of Israel, of Paran and Kadesh, and they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. So, the first part of it is good. They showed them all the great things that God showed them. And it says in verse 27, and then they told him, said, we went to the land and where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. So God is not a liar.
That's right. He's not.
God is not a liar. He told him going to take him to a land. He also told him there were people there too.
Yes.
Well, he's not a liar. He said it's going to be exactly the way I told you.
Yeah.
I want to let you know that when God speaks to your spirit, he's not a liar.
That's right.
So when the devil says anything else apart from that, that make you want to say something different, you tell him, God is not a liar.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm serious. You need to start saying, God is not a liar.
That's right.
If you believe in God for deliverance in your family, you believe in God for other aspects in what's going on in your life, say, God is not a liar. He's already spoken to my spirit. I'm believing God for this. God is not a liar.
Right.
You need to learn how to say, God is not a liar. Praise God. You see, because when you speak anything different than what God has said, you're saying that he's a liar. God is not a liar. 28. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. And the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. Well, he told you they were going to be there. The Hittites and the Jebusites, he told you they were going to be there. The Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea, along the banks of the Jordan. And Caleb just jumped up. He quieted the people before Moses. He said, let us go up at once and take possession. We are well able to overcome it.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's trying to stop that talk.
Yeah.
He said, shut up. Stop, stop. Stop saying that. Okay? You're going to have to become indignant when the enemy brings thoughts in your mind other than what God has said. You're going to have to say, no, shut up. I don't hear that. Devil, shut up. We are able to possess it. We're able to overcome. We're able to have what God said. God says he's given it to us, then we're able to receive it. Praise God. God had already told them that the land was there. Why not take possession? Has he ever let them down up to this day?
No.
Verse 31 says, but the men who had gone up said, oh my, we are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. What? And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which inhabitants and all the people who saw it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, and came from the giants. And we are like grasshoppers in our own sight. You have to see yourself as God sees you. And so we were in their sight. Say with me, to be all in.
To be all in.
You have to hear, say, and do.
You have to hear, say, and do.
What does hear mean? We have to listen and receive the word from God. We have to declare with our mouth and speak according to what is heard from God. And our mouths must agree with what God has already spoken. Then we need to perform the inspired actions when we're led to. by our hearing and our saying.
Yes.
In verse chapter 14, this is their due. Verse 1, it says, so all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. Or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt, my God. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, son of Nun, and the son of Jephunneh, who was among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. Tearing the clothes is an ancient tradition among Jews and is associated with mourning and grief and loss. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel. This is what they said. He said, the land, he said, the land we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good land.
It's good land.
If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us.
Yeah.
A land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them.
Hallelujah.
And what happened? The congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before the children of Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? How long will they not believe me with the signs which I have performed among them? I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater than and mightier than they. The Lord was willing to just wipe them all out and start over with Moses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a bit much.
Yeah.
He had it. Yep. He had it.
Yep.
But what was the result of their disobedience? What was the result of them not being all in? According to the number of their days in which they spied out the land, which was 40 days, for each day, verse 34, stayed they, you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection. For every day they went out to spy the land, they got a year tacked on when they were supposed to get the promise. Was this right for Caleb and Joshua not to be able to enter? Wow. So, okay. This was an example. This is an example. Shows us so we can stop and heed.
That's right.
Yeah.
Matthew 28:18-20 says this. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority. Now we're going to hear God speaking to us. Mm-hmm. He says, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Mm-hmm. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Mm-hmm. And Lord, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. We look at these verses, and Mark 16:20 says this, and he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and baptizes is saved, but who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs shall follow those who believe. My name you will cast out demons, will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Well, whose is it? This is the Great Commission. Commission means that sent forth to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, whose commission is it?
Ours.
I can't hear you. Whose commission is it?
Ours.
Was it Pastor's commission?
No. Ours.
Is Pastor Christine's commission?
Ours.
Is the Reverend's commission? Is it Reverend Christine's commission? Whose commission is it?
Ours.
Whose?
Ours.
Believers.
Believers' commission. This commission is not for those who are preachers.
Come on.
Only.
That's right.
Because we have received the saving grace of Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Praise God.
And he has designed. He's not willing anyone should perish.
That's right.
He has commissioned all of us. You know, I was at a dear sister's house.
All of us.
And I was walking through the vestibule, and I saw all these gospel tracts. Right at the vestibule with a nice table. And that sister was actually saying that anybody walk through this house is going to get the word. Going to get evangelized. I'm going to evangelize that person. It can be a plumber. It can be whoever comes in to bring me something. She got gospel tracts right there. Ready to minister. Yeah. Amen. I don't want to embarrass her, but I was blessed. Walking through her house and seeing that. And I said, "Ooh, this sister, I'm kidding. She's not kidding. She ready. She ready to share the gospel with someone. Praise God. Ready to share the gospel. You see, we hear that gospel message. And we now need to declare that out of our mouths.
Yeah.
We need to declare what our part is of it. Hallelujah. And then we need to perform the inspired actions led to by our hearing and our saying.
Yes.
Now we're going to get to the point where we bring this personal. I said all that to get to this point. And concluding. The Lord said three things to talk to the people about. He says, find your post and fill it. The Lord said, find your post and fill it. If you are a believer, you need to find your post and fill it. If you call yourself Westchester Family Church, this is your home, you need to find your post and fill it. We have people doing multiple posts right now. But you know, there's the time where all these multiple posts, we can't do them at the same time. So we run around trying to get it done. And many times people walk into church and say, wow, everything just went so nice and wonderful. You have no idea what had happened before we got here. There was a time we had a situation where we came in, we had nowhere to project the music. There was, when they were building this thing, there was nowhere to project the music. There was no screens or nothing. We had to improvise. Try to find a way to project the words. But we need to find our place and fill it. See, be all in. You have to hear, say, and do. Be all in. You need to find a task. Take your place. But know that that's your post. And if you're not here, you're so concerned about that post that you're going to make somebody take care of that post.
Yes.
Oh. Amen. You see, there's no spectators in the house of God, those who call themselves believers. There's no spectators in WFC. No, there isn't.
No.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And we are not waiting around to see what happens before we launch our supply. God has given each one of us abilities, giftings. Hallelujah. And we need to dig deep and make more of a priority in our spirit, saying, Lord, if I'm coming today, Lord, what is it you have me to do? Lord, I became a part of this work. Lord, what is it you want me to do? You know, our posts may change over the years. Okay? There may be some things that you were doing before when you were here before, as this church has been here 20 years. Well, maybe you can't do those things anymore. But don't mean that you retire. You say, well, Lord, what do I need to do next? Lord, what's the next post?
Right.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'll tell you where you start. Start by coming to prayer.
Yes.
That's a post.
Pressure.
Come to prayer. When this door opens for prayer, you come to prayer. We're starting at 10:25 every Sunday. You know, last week when we were praying, there was two manifestations of the Spirit happening before most of the people walked in. God gave us a word.
Yes, he did.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when you get to your post, be there on time. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ooh, that must be old me. Get there on time. Hallelujah. Praise God. because you never know. We had a vision. A person saw a multitude of people coming through the door.
Yeah.
Well, if a greeter show up after the people, what's going to happen? This ain't going to work. Right? Right? Okay, I know I'm meddling. I have to tell you what the Lord told me to tell you. And we should not expect the pastor to call us and give us a proper invitation and tell us what he wants us to do. Oh, boy. And if you don't, you're not going to get a call from pastor to tell you, I need you to do this. It's not going to happen. We have our pastor working a job and being pastor to church. That's a lot of work. And so we expect him to sit down and say, well, I had this sister so-and-so, or this brother so-and-so. I'm going to figure out, okay, where they need to be. You know how you're going to find instruction on what you need to be doing? When you come to pray, God's going to speak some things in your spirit.
Hallelujah. Yes.
He's going to speak some things in your spirit. He's going to tell you exactly what he wants you to do. And then you're going to bounce it off a pastor. You're going to say, Pastor, I feel I need to do this.
Come on.
Need to do this, Pastor.
That's the body.
And Pastor, he's going to check with inside and see, okay, does this follow the blueprint of the vision? And he's going to say, that sounds good. Seems good to me in the Holy Ghost. And guess what happens? You're going to step right into that thing. And you're going to start doing that thing. Amen? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you. On little things. You know, I mean, I'm sorry to take too long, but I got to tell you this.
Go ahead.
I was here, and one thing I love to do, but I have to check the bathroom to make sure there's some paper towels in the bathroom. You say that's a simple thing. I have to check it. Because I don't want no one coming here, going to the restroom, and can't dry their hands. I got to check it. And one day I was going to do it, and I didn't know how to put it in the dispenser. But Brother Sylvia was here, and he showed me how to do that. He told me how to open the thing up and how to put it in there. Guess what? I can do it. I do it now. Right? But there may be somebody who just want to come just to do that. Just to check if there's paper towels. I'm not asking you to clean the toilet. I'm not asking just to check if there's paper towels there.
That's right.
You may find there's your post. And you say, why is that important? Well, it's important because if pastor don't have to do it, you should see our pastor running around every morning on Sunday. Doing everything. Everything. Okay, I know I'm meddling. But I tell you, but I'm not an evangelist. Okay? I'm not doing a hit and run. I'm here. Okay?
Family talk.
I'm here. Pastor running around. He got to do this. He got to do that. We can't get him to sit in the office and just meditate and just believe God for the word he just got. He's running around. Oh, table's missing. I got to put a table up. Okay. Oh, he's sick. Oh, signs are not here. You know, we got Brother Adam God drives way from New Jersey hours to get here. To get here before everybody. To do what? Put up every sign, every table, fix. I can't believe it. It's his blessing.
Yes.
But he come in almost hour and a half, almost 2 hours.
I know. God bless him.
God bless him.
Yes.
Praise God. Praise God. I have, I don't want to embarrass her because she knows she does. This is a Marsha here. She drives so far. Come through the communion.
I know.
My goodness, she come in and pushing a cart, dealing with her oxygen issues right now.
Right.
I'm like saying, what is this? Long drive, come down here, sit down there, make sure she got there early enough to make sure that communion is ready. When she's also battling some other issues right now, believing God for healing in her body. Still coming here. You can't stop this woman from coming. You can't. I remember before the communion service, she says, well, I'm going to let you know I'm going to be here to make sure the communion is ready. That was like a week ago. She has it on her mind. She finds the post. And she says, I got to do it. Well, help. Maybe she can train a couple of people to do that. But you have to put it in your spirit to say, I'm a part of Westchester Family Church, and I'm going to find my post, and I'm going to fill it and make it a priority. Now you say, oh, and then you know what the Lord told me to talk about? Oh, boy. Oh, man. See, that's why I do all this stuff before I got here, because you need to know.
Just obey God.
The Lord said, no post. No post job is too small.
Amen.
No post job. We had a lady who used to take care of coffee before we got to church. The lady would take care of coffee to the point that she pulled all the money out of her pocket
right.
to make sure everybody has a little something with some coffee in the morning.
That's true.
Since that lady left, ain't nobody here doing nothing with the coffee.
No.
Now, I don't drink coffee, so it don't matter to me. But I know some of the people who come in church in the morning, they need coffee.
Yeah, that's true.
But with all the people we have right now, we can't do it all. We can't do it all. So those little things, it makes a difference.
That's true.
Make it your business to find something to do. Don't think when you're missing, they will find a way to get things done.
Oh,
mercy. That's the biggest thing. Woo! Oh, I know I'm better. I'm
Lord
telling you. I know I am. Okay? Don't think when you're missing, they will find a way to get things done. Yeah, we find a way. We run around. We get it ready. People of faith say and do something.
Amen.
People of faith say and do something.
Amen.
We hear from God. We say what God says. And then we move with inspired action. Based on what we hear and say.
Amen.
Glory to God. Okay, you didn't know. Then the Lord told me to tell them to watch out for entanglements.
Mm.
Glory. Entanglements. It's when we always say we're not available. For his purpose. You know, the enemy has our young people tied up so much as far as with their employment, their jobs, whatever, they can't even come to church on Sundays. Do you see? We got mostly people over 40 in here. And then you got a few young people who have been brought here by their parents. But then we're talking about our college age, or ones just came from a college. They are so tied up. Enemy's got them so tied up that they got to work here. They got to work here. They got to work there. They got to work there. And they just can't come to church.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to mean? We older folk are going to have to hold on just a little bit more so we can train up these young people. We got to have to inspire them. We have to bring them back. We have to show them the value of what it means to work in God's kingdom. And how important that the commission, the Great Commission, is also their commission.
Yes. Yeah.
We find them missing in action in kingdom business. Entanglements prevent service.
Mm-hmm.
Purpose to choose something. This will ensure, hallelujah, you need the purpose to do something. That's what the Lord wanted me to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Find a post and feel it. Don't be a spectator. Watch out for entanglements.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When you hear, say, and do, hallelujah. You're all in. You're all in. You have to have a mentality where you walk and say, I'm all in. Hallelujah.
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 Yeah.
You're all in. Are you all in today?
Yes, I'm all in.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Make God's, what God is interested in, important in your life. Make what God is interested in important in your life. Pastor, I'm going to turn this over to you.
Amen.
See what the Lord says to you about this. But I want to be all in.
Amen.
Yes, we are.
I want to be all in.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Well done, brother.
Praise God.
Praise you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Well done.
Praise God. Thank you. Reverend Ennis, thank you. I believe that was from God. I did not tell him a thing to say, just so you know. I didn't tell him what theme. I didn't say anything. I said, I just bring whatever's on your heart. You know why? Because I trust the Holy Spirit in that man, that he hears from God and he has the heart for this house. He has a heart for this part, and we're only part of God's body. He has a heart for this part. In fact, years ago when he came to this church, he said, Pastor, I'm not looking for a position. I'm not looking for a platform. He said, I'm looking for a family.
Amen.
And you heard that he was talking to us as family. So thank you. Thank you. Amen. Let's respond to that. Let's respond to that, shall we? Let's just bow our heads right now. Father, we thank you for the word in due season. Lord, we see how that applies to our lives personally and how it applies to the church life of this family, of this local expression of your body.
Yeah.
And now, Father, I thank you for the courage for each one of us to take this word and act upon it. Amen. Father, that the first steps of coming into your presence corporately, being a part of what you are speaking on a regular basis, at prayer and at the service, Father, I thank you that during those times you're speaking to your body. You're speaking to the hand. You're speaking to the pinky, the toe, the leg, the arm. You're speaking to the parts of the body to do their part. And so, Father, I thank you for this word. Thank you for it. I'm humbled by it, Father. Lord, that you would call this group together to be here for such a time as this. And so, Father, we respond and we say with our words now, and if you mean it with all your heart, just say, I'm all in.
I'm all in.
Say, I'm all in, God.
All in.
I'm all in to what you say for me to do. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. With every head bowed, continued closed, and eyes closed, please. If you do not know Jesus Christ, I always do this, even if I feel like we're all family here, okay? I do it because I want you to know that whenever you bring a friend or when somebody watches online, they can find out how to come into the kingdom.
Thank you, Lord.
Romans 10, 9 and 10, while your head's bowed and eyes are closed, if you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. You can raise your hand. If you're watching online, you can just respond right where you are. Right where you are. And just, the Bible tells us in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. And so right now, we're going to lead you in a simple prayer. Say, Father God,
I come before you, and I believe
that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for my sins, that he was raised from the dead. I receive his forgiveness by faith, and I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior from this day forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. At this time, let's stand together. Hallelujah. And let's have our sending out verse spoken over this congregation and those of you that are watching at home. And thank you again for an amazing word that Reverend Ennis brought us. Can you just give him a hand right now? Hallelujah. And now just raise your hand toward him and say,
thank God
that he's got people that are inspired to speak to his church. Hallelujah. Amen. Now let's say this out loud with the sending out verse. If you could put it up on the screen, please. Thank you. The Lord. Psalm. You got it? You guys got it? Here we go. We're waiting on our tech team back there. Glory to God. Hey, incidentally, some of our young people have jumped up in our tech team because we've needed them. And they filled a post. Some of them fill posts just as much as some of the adults. And so thank God for that. Amen. All right. Well, you know it, right? Right? All right. All right. All right, so the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. Happy 4th of July. We will see you next Sunday.